From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Gift of Strength, Peace to Bless. The text is Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. David had just heard the voice of the Lord in a thunderstorm and had seen His power in the hurricane whose path he had described. And now, in the cool calm after the storm, that overwhelming power by which heaven and earth are shaken is promised to be the strength of the chosen. He who wings the unerring bolt will give to his redeemed the wings of eagles. He who shakes the earth with his voice will terrify the enemies of his saints and give his children peace. Why are we weak when we have divine strength to flee to? Why are we troubled when the Lord's own peace is ours? Jesus, the mighty God, is our strength. Let us put Him on and go forth to our service. Jesus, our blessed Lord, is also our peace. Let us repose in Him this day and end our fears. What a blessing to have Him for our strength and peace, both now and forever. That same God who rides upon the storm in days of tempest will also rule the hurricane of our tribulation and send us before long days of peace. We shall have strength for storms and songs for fair weather. Let us begin to sing at once unto God our strength and our peace. Away, dark thoughts, up, faith and hope.
Is coming, heaven's gates will open wide, and all who love the Lord will enter in. To join with their loved ones who in Jesus Christ have died, their eternal life in heaven to begin. And the Lord Himself will greet us. So a joy will fill that day, and with the smile of the proudest father, He looks at us to say,
thank you.
To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called Christ's Abounding Grace. The text is found in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. The entire human race has been condemned to death because Adam's sin has been imputed to all of his posterity. A great contrast exists between Adam as the federal head of the entire human race and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. It is important to understand that although Christ's humanity was real, yet because of his virgin birth, he did not have a sin nature. As Adam was the covenant head of those who are born in him, so Christ is the covenant head of those united to him by the new birth. Through the grace of God, all who come to Christ for salvation are justified. That is, they are declared righteous because of what Christ did on the cross. God confers upon them eternal life, and they are safe and secure in Christ.
It's a wonderful statement of the Apostle Paul that he preached in Pisidian Antioch in Acts 13:38 and 39. Every Christian should know it. If you're not saved, you should learn it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. You know, that takes care of your past in its totality. That takes care of your present and even of your future. That looks at everything that you have ever done, ever thought, ever said, ever imagined. That looks at every grain of iniquity that you've ever committed. That looks at the dark things of which you've been ashamed. That looks at the things that no one but God knows. That looks at the things that you cannot purge away. And with all the law keeping in the world, you could never deal with the awful stain upon your conscience. But he says, listen, you are justified from all things. Total, complete, permanent, irreversible justification. Oh, it deals with original sin. It changes our standing. But it deals with the actual transgressions and frees us from the guilt of every one of them. It's the mercy and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But even then he hasn't finished. For the fourth great conclusion is this, that grace, with its gift of justifying righteousness, not only delivers us from the guilt of original sin, not only delivers us from the condemnation due to the multitude of our actual transgressions, not only delivers us from this death, but it confers on us eternal life as the reward of the righteousness of Christ, his righteous actions in our behalf. Look at verse 17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See what he's saying? The Lord Jesus Christ has not only saved us from condemnation and death, he has done that. But he has earned for us the title to eternal life. We shall reign. Notice the emphatic certainty. We shall reign in life through him. As I thought of those words, my mind went back to a sermon I preached here some years ago from the life of David. It was called Ziklag in Ashes. You remember David came back to the city of Ziklag, where all his possessions and all his people were supposedly safely ensconced, while he went off to war. He came back, it had been burned with fire. All his people had been taken away by the Amalekites. All his possessions were taken away. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And at the Lord's command, he went after the Amalekites and found them. And we read, David recovered all. And I well remember the two main points of my sermon. I could preach them again without any further preparation. There sums up the whole Bible. David recovered all his lost people. And David recovered all his people had lost. And in this, he is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has recovered his lost people. But he's done even more. He has elevated us to a position even higher and more secure than that which Adam enjoyed in Eden. Do you notice this? In Christ we stand justified. In Eden, Adam was on probation. We're not on probation. We have been justified. We're not on probation. Why? Because Christ underwent that probation. Somebody asked me last Sunday night a number of questions, very good questions that people ask after these meetings. Things that come to their minds, or points that I have raised and not pursued, or things that I haven't covered at all, and they'll come and ask, and I'm always delighted to have good and serious and thoughtful questions. And one question was, how was it that it was just one act of sin that brought the fall, but it couldn't be by just one act of righteousness? It had to be by a life of obedience that brought justification. You see, it only took one act to break the probation. But probation infers a period of time. Christ, never forget, the covenant, as far as Christ was concerned, was a covenant of works. As far as we're concerned, it's a covenant of grace. But he had to earn the salvation that's freely given to us. He had to earn the righteousness that's given to us. He had to earn it. He fulfilled in that great period what Adam couldn't fulfill. He underwent our probation. And one reason, therefore, is this, that salvation, not like the fall, could not be by a single act. You see, Christ endured the rigors of that covenant of works in order that we should be established in a covenant of grace. And the gospel is, he finished the work. Justification is now earned. You know that advert for some financial house or other, they used a great English actor for years, saying, we make money the old-fashioned way, we earn it. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ created a righteousness that is made to our account the only way possible. He earned it. Now watch this, for this is the climax of it all. And I have to confess to you that this states something that I can only state, I cannot expound. But listen to it carefully. Being justified, freed from guilt and condemnation and death and damnation, that's one thing. But we shall reign in life, we shall reign in union with Christ forever. And it's all by his righteousness. I don't have time tonight to deal with the heresy of the Roman Catholic Church at this point in its catechism of the Catholic Church, its latest and greatest statement of its theology. It teaches emphatically that by the merits of Christ we are saved from hell, but it is only by the merits of our own acts of obedience that we can actually enter into heaven. And that is heresy. Here we reign in life because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. What does it mean to reign in life? Well, that's where you have me. I just don't know. I can tell you what the Bible says. And when I've read this, I know even less. In Revelation 3, verse 21, you have one of the most astonishing statements that Jesus Christ ever made. He makes it from the throne of heaven, and this is what he says. To him that overcometh, you must remember in these epistles to the seven churches, the overcomer is simply his description of a genuine believer. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. See where he found us, ruined. See where he brings us, justified and redeemed. What is the end for the believer? We shall reign. Are you in Christ? Are you a believer in Christ? Then he says, you're justified. And if you're justified, you shall reign in life through Jesus Christ. And as Christ himself says, as I am set down with my Father on his throne, so you shall sit down with me on my throne. That's grace abounding. As John Bunyan called it in his famous autobiographical work, it's grace abounding to the chief of sinners. I trust tonight that you know this abounding grace through Jesus Christ. For I tell you this, if you don't find grace in Christ, you'll not find it anywhere else. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, he meant it. But when you think of all that's in Christ, you'll see this is the only way, this is the only place whereby the guilty can be justified, the ruined can be redeemed, the dead can be made alive. This is God's way, the soul way. I trust that you have come to Christ and entered by faith into him. If you are in Christ, you're as secure in your standing as the throne of God. So be assured. If you're not in Christ, then cry to him for mercy. As I pointed out this morning, every needy sinner who cries for mercy obtains it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for a great salvation and a wonderful Savior. We thank thee, O Lord, for a glorious redemption and a complete justification. We thank thee for the contrast between Adam and Christ. We thank thee, our God, for the glorious truths that we can deduce from the gospel story. We thank thee for all that we have in thy Son. Lord, let thy people see the security that belongs to them in Christ. Oh, we pray, save us from shallow views of the gospel. Save us, O God, we pray, from presumption. But, oh, give us simple faith that will look at Christ and in looking at him, see Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, the one who is our security. And may God's people learn to live in the joy of a complete assurance, O Lord, though buffeted by many cares and distresses, grant that we shall never lose sight of our complete security in Christ. And may we live in this world as those who shall reign in life forever in union with the Lord Jesus. And O God, if there are those here tonight, yet strangers to thy grace, still under the burdens of guilt and care, bring them, we ask of thee, to faith in Christ, that this night they may be delivered from the guilt of original sin to a new standing in Christ, delivered from the guilt and condemnation of their multitude of personal transgressions, that those sins may be put under the blood, delivered from death and brought to the certainty of life in Jesus Christ. O God, do a great work, and part us now with thy blessing, and keep us in thy fear. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people tonight and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.